It's the Platinum Club. And here's your weekly podcast that takes the principles of showbiz blueprint to the next level. In each episode, Barry serves up a message to motivate, guide, and inspire you to play bigger, act bolder, take bigger risks, and win. Direct from his studio in the Sierra Mountains and straight into your business, here's Barry.
Hello, Platinum Club. Welcome to episode number 4 of the podcast. I'm finishing up this month with another audio podcast from my studio and preparing for our first live whiteboard session on September 6th. Going to be exciting. I will make sure the times and links are posted to this page, and I really hope to see you there. This first one will be an interesting jumping off point. My first fully produced live stream, and it's been a long time coming. It's a bit nerve-wracking, of course, as new challenges always are, and there's a part of me that wouldn't have it any other way. I always lead by example, and I want you all to see that taking risks is part and partial to growing a business. Yep, can't do it without it. So I'm going to demo it live, and we'll see how it all plays out. I have this massive computer that was built for me, specifically for live streaming. It is a beast. Seriously, it's water-cooled, and it has cards inside that cost more than complete computers from my past. I'm excited to see how it all works. I have this sneaky feeling it's going to be a flawless experience. How's that for optimism? I will have 3 cameras and my producer on hand to make sure you're always seeing what's most valuable. And we'll have the ability to bring on the person who is the subject of the whiteboard session and chat roll for everybody else. So we'll have everything in place to be able to fully dig into the challenge that the person on the whiteboard session seat has asked for. You know, and I touched on this early in the program, and I want to reiterate right now, I will conduct either 1 or 2 live whiteboard sessions on each session. That makes sense? This first month we'll have 2. And if you're not the focus, you have a remarkable opportunity to be a fly on the wall and let your mind dream of how this can apply to you. I told you in a previous video that I storyboarded 30 days sugar-free during another person's whiteboard session on a mastermind about 4 years ago. It's a time to take everything in and not have any of the pressure that's required from being the person being challenged on the whiteboard session. So dig into it, seize it with both hands and an open mind. Feel free to jump in into the chat with ideas and comments, and we'll have time to bring it all together while we're doing it and at the end. My goal for these whiteboard sessions is that the person in the focus leaves with a blueprint for action, and the rest of us leave with an education and an inspiration for something that's been waiting to appear. I promise you, there is great alchemy in witnessing the deep dive of someone else's challenge. Take notes if that's how you roll. I would love to know that you're taking notes on this. And don't rule out any flicker of an idea. Those flickers are, in fact, why you're here. Good, and let's turn our attention and take a look at where we're heading going forward with this podcast. Next month, we'll focus solely on Facebook marketing. Specifically, I'll show you the steps to using a system where we can target those who have already shown some interest in our work and follow up with them to continue the process of being an essential member of their successful events. Yep, it's going to be fantastic. We are able to run complete funnels, just like the type I teach in Showbiz Blueprint, and we can run those funnels with this system on Facebook and scale our message onto other platforms. It's incredible. And in our prospects' eyes, we are literally everywhere. And that helps so much, as I'll address a little bit later in today's podcast. We can also build custom audiences of past clients, and that's really powerful. We can build lookalike audiences from those clients, and we can target people who match certain criteria that we know are favorable to our services. It's incredibly powerful, and I'm doing it daily on my other business. We'll have a lot of breakthrough with those sessions on Facebook advertising, and you'll test it with your audience. I have a really creative strategy for those of you who are willing to take a small risk on stage, and this will build your fan base and keep you in their mind for a long time to come. And now, let's break open today's can of worms, because every time you commit to this marketing, positioning, branding crime, you're basically telling your prospects, you're not right for me, and I'm not right for you. So maybe we can both settle for less than we were hoping for. Doesn't that just sound horrible to say out loud? Yikes, I mean, who would want to just run for the hills during a conversation that has that undercurrent? Gives me the heebie-jeebies just to say it. You're not right for me, and I'm not right for you, so maybe we can both settle for less than we were hoping for. Oof. So how are we unintentionally bringing this energy into our conversations and negotiations? I'll get into how we're doing it in a little while, but when are we doing it? We're doing it whenever we get weak about our services, our value, our price, our ability, our rider, our requirements, our offer, or our performance. Anytime we get apologetic or weak about any of those, we are unintentionally bringing the undercurrent into our conversation that leads us to, you're not right for me and I'm not right for you. And I'm telling you, this slips out in the most innocent ways. With such good meaning, we will say something that weakens our position in the conversation or lowers our status in the prospect's minds. Most of us know enough about improv to understand the importance of status. It's obvious in every scene, and so important here in the relationship when we are talking to prospects about a live appearance. If we are up for a gig against three other options, and you know we always are, those good-meaning slips make it so easy, so natural for the decision-maker or the committee to turn the page, hit the back button. They almost have to, just out of fear of being the outcast who jumps on, or even worse, has to captain the ship of weakness. There is a very tenuous relationship between us and our prospects. This is such a bizarre buying decision for most people. It's unimaginable to some of the people who hire us, and their antennas are perched and pointed directly at a million factors that we can't even understand. Even if you're speaking to someone who regularly hires entertainment, they are subconsciously on alert for cues that you aren't what you say you are. Gosh, that's so true. Here are 10 questions. Let me give you these. I just scribbled these down literally as fast as I could write. These are ones that I've heard prospects say to me in interviews or right to my face. And there are more, but you'll get the idea from this really quickly. Will my group like this? Will my boss like this? Will I lose my job if this fails? Will the ROI be positive? How will this fit in or change our culture? What will the competitors think? Where will this fit into our agenda? Do I trust this person or group with my audience? What feels unsafe about this? Can I just forget about this and not feel like I'm losing out? So, knowing that to some level, that is what we are up against, let's look at a few ways in which we lower our status, we sound apologetic, or otherwise give them a reason to say, I knew it, you aren't right for us. First, branding. We talk a lot about this in Showbiz Blueprint. Carrie Ann came on and talked to us and gave us some real insights from the professional high level about branding. And it can't be stressed enough. Everything about you, in other words, your brand, must be consistent and congruent with what they expect to see. Any bump in that road can trigger a prospect to hit the back button or not return a phone call automatically. So what do? We take anything that is incongruent out of our funnels right now and slowly work to replace them with assets that reassure that you are right for the job. It sounds easy. I don't want to make it sound easy. It is a beast of a job. The easy part, though, is identifying it, becoming honest with yourself and saying, yeah, that's not helping my brand. I remember when we had our demo reel packed with TV show appearances. Man, I'd like some of that money back, I tell you. We bought footage. We got permission to use it. We paid editors big dollars in those days. And all of it was turning off our prospects who weren't hiring us to do a TV show. You get that? They weren't hiring us to do a TV show. They were hiring us for a sales conference or a trade show, and my ego got in the way and caused a giant bump in the road. Incongruency equals mistrust. Simple, non-fuzzy math. Second, needy is creepy. Needy is creepy. They can sense it a world away, and it's our job to keep the higher status of someone who is an expert at what you do and never sound like you need the gig. Man, that is so much easier said than done. But breathe it in. This is a big part of the clean mindset exercise that I talk about in the 5-part sales funnel. Before we ever pick up the phone, we do this exercise to clear the mind, to not be needy. Needy is creepy. And damn, it's so easy to come across as needy. It's disempowering for you and a big, nasty bump in the road for them. I cringe when I think about my needy moments in the early days of booking my act. It came across with little phrases like, I hope you will, or if you would only, or can I please? Ah, that was another one. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine letting any sentence that starts like that roll off your tongue? I bet you can. And I want you to stop. Just don't do it any longer. Put those up in writing if you need to and do some aversion therapy around them. Say it and slap yourself. Say it and tag yourself with a stun gun. That kind of voice and tone subconsciously turns your prospect away from you. It turns them off very quickly. Third, price. What's your first thought when you see something that is priced way below the value it's going to bring into your life? Even if you imagine the value, what happens when you hear a lower price? Do you think, how could this be so cheap? Something isn't right? Do you think this is a ripoff of the real thing? Do you think this is going to be to fall apart? It's going to be incomplete, or it's not going to work like it's supposed to? And on a subconscious level, do you think, I'm going to keep looking for something else that matches my expectations? Yeah, all of those. The race to the bottom, it's a killer for authority, for professionalism, for trust, anticipation, scarcity, and likability. Take that in. Listen to those. Authority, professionalism, trust, anticipation, scarcity, and likability. It kills all of those triggers, which are mandatory. Yes, I'm using the word by choice. Those are mandatory for the type of business we are doing. It is such an unusual purchase that we are asking people to make that all of those triggers have to be in place for them to feel secure enough to pull the trigger and go. There are more, of course, which influence the perception we give to a prospect. For other example, it's good to be untouchable, socially proven, celebrity-like, and even a leader. Our buyers aren't looking for the cheapest unless they are. And then, honestly, we don't want them as clients. Our duty is to serve the clients who are best matched for what we offer, not for us to go down in price or for them to go up in their budget. Ideally, there is a match where neither of you nor them are forced to compromise. The best move we can make when it comes down to simple numbers is to maintain that price, which keeps us in check with all the triggers that I mentioned a minute ago. You let that go in the very foundation of who you are in business, it crumbles to the ground. Wish them the best. Make suggestions for other options. Tell them the truth about their budget and maintain your position in the conversation. If you're running into this more often than not, you are plain and simple talking to the wrong prospects. Yes, it's going to happen once in a while. It always does. If it's happening more often than not, you're talking to the wrong prospects. You're talking to people who aren't a match, and they're wasting your time. You might be confusing persistence with relevance, effort with results, or possibility with fantasy. Stop doing it. Reassess, and then climb back onto the game board with prospects who wouldn't consider working with an act that was half your price. It wouldn't even enter their mind any more than they'd consider buying a used Ford Fiesta. Let me throw out a few names. Tony Robbins, Richard Branson, Oprah Winfrey, Martha Stewart, and bringing it a bit closer to home, Penn & Teller, Kostya Kimlet, Raspini Brothers, and a handful of alumni from Showbiz Blueprint, unapologetic, clear on their prospects' needs, and confident that they bring a solution. Are you? Where do you slip into being apologetic? And what's the cost of that decision to you and your business? What will it be like when you operate from that place of power, of status, of brand, of appearance fee? There's nothing impossible about it, I promise you that. There's nothing that you are missing. There are very few reasons you'd ever slip, and the big one is a fear of loss. Losing the gig, losing the client, losing the money. What happens to you if you reframe that by never allowing your status, your position, your brand, your price to take a hit? You know what happens? You book the kind of gigs you want. You work with clients who are pinching themselves that they got you. You get the fees you ask for. You get favorable recommendations and referrals that scale your business. And you sleep better and you love yourself more. If there was one magic trick that I could actually do, I would transplant into your brain, into your soul, into your business, that you'll be better off if you do this. You won't starve. You won't suffer. You won't look back on it as the moment your career died. that magic trick would be to get you to trust yourself so much that you have no recourse but to go all in with your value, proposition, brand, and your fee. Let that be the filter that only allows through that which assures your happiness and financial security. Sounding apologetic, needy, incongruent about anything in your business instead of leading boldly is a pothole that will eventually ruin your spirit and stall your career. The assignment from today's podcast, and you can do it right in the comments below if you want, own up to a place where you've been apologetic in your business. What's it cost you over time? And what's one small step you'll take to never let it happen again? I told you when we started this Platinum Club that I was going to push you to dream bigger than you've ever dreamed and take smaller steps than you've ever taken. With that in mind, what's one small step you can take to never let it happen again? I believe in you and your ability to create a business that makes you proud every single day. I will keep a tab open on my computer and look forward to reading your answers. Don't make me check in with you individually. I will talk to you next week.